Good evening, family and friends of St. Mark's. This is not how we were planning to spend Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter, and yet here we are. And though we can't be face-to-face in our worship during this Holy Week, we give thanks for the opportunity to still be able to worship our great and awesome God. And so we rejoice in the fact that we are still able to be fed with God's means of grace. May you be enriched as we hear the message for this Monday, Thursday. And also then as we focus on Good Friday, it is a true heartfelt message, the fact that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. And then Easter Sunday, he is risen. As we focus on Monday, Thursday, we meditate on the fact that the Lord Jesus gave us a new command, which really wasn't a new command, but it's heightened again, and it is new in the sense that with the gospel-motivated work of Jesus Christ, we are all the more able and willing, through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, to love God and one another. So may you be refreshed through this renewed command of our Lord to love one another. We turn our attention to our opening hymn. Again, it's found on our website, or you can also find it on the link that was sent to you by email if you receive our email regarding the service. Our opening hymn is Go to Dark Gethsemane. It's found in Christian Worship, number 104. We continue with the invocation. We worship this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace. Your mercies are new every morning. Guide our steps by the light of your word. Shield us from harm and keep us from evil. Better than life is your love. Put joy in our hearts and praise on our lips. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
We pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation. We, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our first lesson on this Monday-Thursday service comes to us from the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, where the Lord God gives the children of Israel a very visual picture of their deliverance from the land of Egypt. And at the heart of this deliverance was blood. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the singing of the hymn, "God's Word is Our Great Heritage," in Christian Worship, number 293.
Thank you.
In our second lesson from 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus gives a visual picture and a reminder of how our forgiveness came about. At the heart of this reminder and picture is blood. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." The word of the Lord. We join in the seasonal response. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. Our gospel lesson for this Monday, Thursday comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, the 13th chapter, where Jesus gives us a visual reminder of what motivated him to carry out this great act of love. At the heart of his motive is you and me, an attitude of service. We hear these words, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.' 'Then, Lord,' Simon Peter replied, 'not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well.' Jesus answered, 'Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us continue with our hymn of the day. It's 'Twas on that dark, that doleful night' in Christian worship number 136.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance. And this is possible from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During the Lenten season and also during Holy Week, we focus on this theme regarding the Son of God going forth to war. And tonight the focus takes it a little further. With these words, the battle is personal. The battle indeed is personal. There are many battles that we face, ideally, in this world. We face battles against our body. We face battles against our mind and battles against our soul. A battle against our body right now, physically speaking, would be the coronavirus attacking our bodies. A battle against the mind would be certain shows and videos and language and ideas of others that are not positive and good for our mind to be thinking about. And then battles against the soul led by Satan and his force of evil and the unbelieving world attacking our soul and our faith in Jesus. Battles are real and battles are personal. And that's what we want to explore more on this Monday, Thursday. The Son of God going forth to war, the battle being personal. Now as we get into the words of our text, which focus in on this personal battle, two words for you: betray and love. Do those words go together? As you contemplate that, let's hear these words from Luke chapter 22. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" This is God's word. Is it love when a spouse cheats on the spouse? Or is it betrayal? Is it love when you gossip about a best friend? Or is that betrayal? Examples of betrayal and love not working together, not on the same page, could go on and on. And a prime example of betrayal and love not working together is before us in these words of Luke, in reference to Judas, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. What happened? Well, we're given insight from the scriptures on what also made Judas tick and what ended up grabbing hold of his heart stronger than love for Jesus. He was motivated by greed. Not exactly sure what he was thinking when it came to coming up with this scheme to go along and betray Jesus. Did he think Jesus, being the Son of God and the Savior, would walk away unscathed and Judas would end up with some money in his pocket? But greed got the best of him. And so Judas, instead of showing love to his Savior, was willing to betray him. With a kiss. Judas was using that as a signal. That takes some courage, wouldn't you say? To go up to the one you say you love, the one you're about to betray, to hand over to the hands of sinners, and go up to him with a kiss? Well, Jesus could read right through Judas. And Jesus, being who he is, and one who came to seek and to save the lost, in another effort, reached out to Judas. "Judas, think about what you are doing. Think of who has grabbed your heart." But Judas went ahead and betrayed his Savior. But before we get too hard on Judas, let's not neglect to look at ourselves, at our own heart, at our own mind, and how often we too have betrayed and do betray Jesus, our Savior, with our words and our actions and our thoughts. On the one hand, we say, Jesus, we love you. We'll never leave you. In fact, at the confirmation promise that many Christians make, they promise, Lord, that I would rather die than forsake you. Well, how long does it take for that promise to be broken? And that we forget that we even made such a promise. And that we forget who our first love is supposed to be. Well, what is it that grabs a hold of us and eats away at that first love of Jesus? It could be a number of things. It could be greed, like Judas. Our own self-centeredness, thinking that life revolves around me. Our narrow view of life. Our want to eat, drink, and be merry attitude. And not worry about the consequences. It might be trying to impress someone else. The motives are many. But they all lead to the same action. Betrayal. Betrayal of the Son of God, the one that we said we loved. And we do that betrayal with our words and our actions. As we line up our words and actions and even our thoughts with the Ten Commandments, we see right down the line how we break and betray the one we're to love. We don't always keep Him first in our life. Perhaps this stoppage in time, so to speak, this stay-home order, is helping some reflect on their priorities, God and family. Second commandment, how often do we take God's name in vain and not even give it a second thought? Or swear needlessly? The third commandment, do we pay attention to His word as we ought? Or have there been plenty of times when we have despised preaching and His word? Do we always respect those in authority? Do we speak well of them even when we disagree with their train of thought? We still are to show respect for the office. When it comes to our parents, are we always speaking well of them and looking out for their best interest? Have we ever hated someone to the point of we wish they were dead? Have we ever abused our own body or harmed the body of someone else? Have we had thoughts of lust? Have we broken the marriage bed? Have we stolen from someone? Taking what is theirs and making it our own? And how often do we not speak well of someone with the intent of making their reputation go in the tubes, with the goal of our reputation going up in that person's eye? And then that ninth and the tenth commandment, related to the seventh, coveting what is not ours, which then can lead to the action of actually stealing what is not ours. Again, we see as we look at that list of the commandments, boy, we have betrayed you, Lord. There's no excuse. We are no better than Judas, who tried and did betray his Savior with a kiss. Thankfully, our Lord and Savior is not like us. He took on flesh like us, yet He who was tempted in every way remained without sin. Because He truly came to seek and to save the lost, that's you and me, and everyone in this whole wide world. And out of love, he took all our betrayal actions and words and thoughts to the cross and left them there. "It is finished," he cried. "Our sins paid for, not to be brought up against us again." That happened because the Lord God, together with the Son Jesus, delivered on a promise. Just as the Lord God delivered on a promise in removing the children of Israel from the lands of Egypt and returning them to the land he had shown Father Abraham, where his descendants would populate and become a great nation. The Lord kept that promise. And he promised the children of Israel that there was even a greater promise of deliverance in store for them, with the whole world in mind. And when the time was right, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us under the law. Jesus came as promised. And when Jesus came to this earth, he did face temptation. Satan knew something was up, and so he kept throwing attack after attack in front of Jesus. But Jesus, being the Son of God and the Son of Man, was able to deflect and not subject himself to falling into temptation. Jesus, the perfect one, was indeed the perfect sacrifice that our sins called for in order to atone rightly for our sins. Jesus went the way which would lead to his death. It was necessary that he do that. And so he was willing to be betrayed by Judas with a kiss, because he knew that act of betrayal was leading to something greater. The greatest act of love we'll ever see and know. Deliverance from our sin. We are able to be at one again with God, our Creator. And sealed with that beautiful message of Easter. Because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Love. God is love. And because he is love, he sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And to remind us of this great act of love, we're here, gathered for our Monday-Thursday worship. God has given us his word to gather around at any time and in any place. He's given us his means of grace, the gospel in word and in sacrament, the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of holy communion. And though we're not able to partake of the sacrament of holy communion at this point in time, we are still able to be refreshed by focusing on what that means for us. Jesus gave of his body and his blood. For what purpose? That our sins would be forgiven. And so when we are able to partake of his body and his blood, together with the bread and wine, we are assured of our sins being forgiven, of not being brought up against us again. And forgiven, we truly then are at peace and have that peace which transcends all understanding. So in love, God has given to us his word, his means of grace, the sacraments, that we can stay connected to him. And as then we are in his word, individually, corporately, we are also connected to one another. What a beautiful thing. And another way that God has shown his love to us, he's given us the opportunity to talk to him in prayer. And oftentimes, the answers to our prayers are found right back in His Word. And so upon reading His Word, that leads us to even more conversation with God. And one of the things that we are to pray for when we're talking to our Heavenly Father, because we have been granted access to Him through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, who gives us freedom and confidence to approach our Father in heaven with whatever is on our mind. One of those things that we are to be asking Him for is what we pray about in the prayer that our Savior taught us. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Help us recognize what is a temptation for me. What is a weakness for me? And help me stay away from it. And Lord, when I do give in to that temptation, raise me up again and assure me of Your forgiveness and lead my eyes and my heart and my body away from that wayward path. And Lord, with all those battles that are against my body and against my mind and against my faith, Lord, help me fight those battles. I can't do it. You can't do it. But with the Lord Jesus, we can. In Ephesians 6, He reminds us of how He equips us to fight the good fight. He is the one who arms us. He is the one who gives us the protection we need. And so, Lord, as we meditate upon Your Word, fill us up with Your love. Fill us up with the assurance of Your forgiveness. Fill us up with the hope that this life is not all there is. And that reassurance found in Romans 8 that we are, Lord, more than conquerors through You. And so who or what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? In the end, nothing. We are more than conquerors. So yes, Jesus was betrayed in a very personal way with a kiss. By one who knew Him well, and He knew well. But God used that act of betrayal to bring about the salvation of all people. It was even there for Judas, but he rejected it. And so pray that people do not reject what Jesus has done for them. But through the gospel and word and sacrament will come to believe in Him and confess Him as Lord and Savior. And together with us, work on putting those sinful ways behind us with the help of the Holy Spirit in us. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good. Those two words, betray and love, don't go together. So God help you continue to fight that good fight. And He does so by reminding you of that great act of love which He carried out through His Son Jesus with you in mind. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Again, during this time when it is our thank offering time, thank you sincerely for your ongoing faithful support of our ministry here at St. Mark's and through St. Mark's as we continue to carry out the Great Commission through our church body. You may continue to mail in your gifts or go to our website and you'll find under the resource link the opportunity to donate there. And also on page 10 of our worship bulletin, we have our QR code, which will take you to our online giving. Let us now continue with the hearing of this beautiful song, contemplative, entitled, Surely He Bore All My Grief. Thank you. We continue with the prayer of the church. Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross.
We confess that without your love, we are lost.
Lord of the church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you, no matter what the danger or the cost.
Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom. Missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our next hymn is entitled The Lamb. It's from Christian Worship Supplement, number 714.
Thank you.
you are able to join us for our Good Friday services at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is "Just As I Am Without One Plea" from Christian Worship number 397.